Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor, and I'm off the lake and back to reality. And we're still gonna have some fun though. No matter what, this is fun time. This is escape time. This is talk Auburn and have fun. Make fun of Alabama fans. That kind of stuff. That's what we do here at Afternoon Delight.
Yeah,
Ben, we talked about this. We talked about the Narcisse Ngoy situation and him being drafted, but we talked about it around essentially Alabama fans comparing it to Charles Bediako and how dumb that is. Yeah. That's kind of the discussion we had. But I want to have a – what's that?
So still stupid.
Still stupid. Today, 1 week later, still stupid. Really dumb. All right. I want to still kind of talk about – I want to talk a little bit further about this whole situation. And I want to ask you a question and kind of get your thoughts on it. Since Narcisse has been drafted by a team in a draft that he didn't sign up for, do you feel like your expectations around him are still pretty much the same, or are they exponentially higher considering those factors as far as how he may translate into college basketball, the NCAA?
What if I say that somewhere in the middle? I don't know if they're exponentially higher, but they're definitely better than what they were, because I'm not taking anything away from European play. Sure. But when you see the highlights and you see the guys he's playing against, I don't know that competition. That's not like watching Alabama and Florida square off, and if we get one of their transfers, I know what we're getting. Or watching Duke, North Carolina, and, you know, when we got Walker Kessler, I knew what we were getting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are guys that I ain't never heard of that he's playing against, and I don't know if they're good, they're not good. They're part of a contract that they signed when they were 12, and they're having to live it out and play in that pro league. I don't know. And I know it looked good, what he was doing, and he was averaging a double-double, so I thought, okay, guy can clearly play. Clearly our guys saw something in him, otherwise they wouldn't have gone to get him. But then when an NBA team and NBA scouts like the intangibles of what they see, and they draft him, who's not even in the draft, which I know that happens to European players anyway, but when they draft him and draft his rights, maintain the rights to him, that lets me know, okay, so next level sees something that will translate to the NBA level.
Right.
So Auburn's getting a better player than what I initially thought they were getting. I mean, I knew they were getting a tall guy. I knew they were getting a guy that's broad shoulders, got a little weight on him. So he's not going to just get pushed around down low by, you know, other big men around the league. But as far as, you know, oh, he averaged a double-double. Okay, well, you know, I had this discussion last year. Alvin Henderson was averaging like 500 yards a game when he was at Elba playing against 1 and 2A kids, whereas you and I thought Omar Mabson was probably a better running back than coming out of high school because he was playing against 7A kids. Same deal with, you know, with Ngoy. Is he playing against 1 and 2A type ball players, or is he playing against 5 and 6A type ball players? And it begs to the question of, you know, how good of scouting is this staff doing that they're on par with picking an NBA
with like NBA teams.
And let me tell you where it does make me feel better, Kyle, because they also went and got Montas.
Exactly. We're going to talk about Montas in a second, but that's a really good point. And that's a really good point on the evaluation side. And honestly, I give them two feathers in the hat for both of these guys, but picking a guy that essentially an NBA team wastes a pick on, like, what are the odds he's going to actually play for the Clippers? Like,
I'd add a score of 0 to 10, probably a 3.
Yeah.
Because even they'll use him as a bargaining chip to move up in the draft next year, or use his rights to move up next year, or use, you know, there was even talk before they decided to do away with the supplemental draft. They were thinking about using his rights for the supplemental draft to be able to grab.
Right.
Something. So, a score of 0 to 10, there's maybe a 3 or 4 that he plays for LA and the Clippers. Otherwise, they may use him as a bargaining chip to be able to move up in the draft next year, for all we know. Or they may – listen, he has a hell of a year at Auburn, Kyle. They may hold that pick. I don't know.
Yeah.
They may say, you know what, we need a big guy.
So, yeah, they could watch it and see what happens. You're right. I will say this. So I don't know if I could put a number on it. I was somewhere along the lines of the way you felt as far as cautiously optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like thinking we got Hakeem Olajuwon. Like, this guy's going to be unreal. I mean, for a team, you only get 60 of those picks. You know what I mean? Yeah. And they used it to draft a kid that they more than like there's a good chance they doesn't ever show up. Yeah. At least the other picks, they at least report to camp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I know they're not guaranteed a roster spot, but at least you're going to get eyes on them. Like, who knows what happens 2 years from now? So the risk reward there to me is extremely high on the Clippers side. Am I correct that they didn't really draft him? They traded with the Hawks or something like that yeah. drafted him?
Yeah, I don't – listen, if you start asking me how NBA does their trades and how one guy will get drafted by a team and comes walking out with a different hat, I ain't figured that part out yet. So I don't even want to pretend to know. They're like, hey
– yeah, he was selected by the Hawks and then immediately traded to the Clippers, who stashed him basically.
Yeah.
So my expectations are through the roof. I want to kind of walk this out and see if this changes or answers one of your questions.
Okay.
What type of competition do they play? Okay. Mm-hmm. So they're the top two tiers of the France League, the French basketball league. Is like, you have the LNB Elite, and then you have the LNB, I think it's two or B or something like that. And he played in the B League. All right. So remember several years back, Auburn went to Israel
yep.
on a trip, and they they played several of the national teams. And when they played their top team, like their top national team, it had a couple of NBA players on it.
Mm-hmm.
They beat us pretty good, I think. They beat us by, you know, let me see what the score was.
This is
95 to 86.
Yeah, so not too bad.
Not too bad. I feel like it wasn't really a close game. But anyway, usually France will dominate, like their top league will dominate the Israeli team.
Yeah.
The Israeli national team. So if that gives you any kind of, I guess like a target to look at as far as something to compare to. Like, they're playing a little bit better basketball. They play a little bit more competitive basketball than maybe the Israeli national leagues do. And mm-hmm. Auburn went in and beat some of those. And then when we got to the top level, I don't want to say blown out, they got beat by, you know, 10 points basically.
Yeah.
So that kind of gives you an idea of what kind of competition he's playing. Now, I know that's not like a perfect parallel, but just kind of give you a little bit of context.
Yeah, I was going to say, it gives you a little bit of context because, again, we don't watch these guys play every day.
Yeah.
We don't know what we're getting. But if you're going to make that comparison and you say that, you know, these French guys are usually beating the Israeli guys are the guys that, you know, beat one of our good teams that, you know, a few years ago. I think this also says a little bit about Auburn. You know, Auburn got – under Bruce and his administration, they kind of got known as, hey, if you're a big man, you want to go here. What yeah. I think people are starting to realize is maybe Bruce, yes, was the figurehead, but maybe the coaches and assistant coaches were the guys that work with these big men fundamentally in order to get them better. And this could be another trend that continues under the Stephen Pearl administration, that big men do well under the Pearls. They put them in position to succeed. I mean, Stephen can already say, I got a guy drafted. Like, on his watch, he got a guy drafted. And we haven't even played game one yet. And
right.
I know that there are going to people laugh at that, especially across the state and probably around the Southeast. They're going to go, well, that didn't count. They were drafting him anyway. It doesn't matter. He chose Auburn, and he went to the – that's like a high school baseball player that gets drafted, not anymore because of new rules, but a high school baseball player gets drafted, but they decide to go to Auburn. Butch Thompson's putting guys in the league. Whether you like it or not, that's the way it works. So it's no different.
No joke. So here's some stats. So this past year, he averaged, talking about Narcisse, 10 points, 11 rebounds, and 2.7 blocks in fewer than 25 minutes per game.
Yes.
He shot 70% from the field. That's pretty solid. He won league MVP. He won Defensive Player of the Year. And he won Most Improved Player. Usually, if you only win Most Improved Player, I'm like, okay, that's not that impressive. But when you couple that in with league MVP and Defensive Player of the Year, I'm telling you, man.
Well, the thing that I like is
the limit here.
The thing that I like is the 25 minutes. Now, he may not get more than 25 minutes, but against younger, more inexperienced competition, if he gets 25 to 30 minutes a game, those numbers will be higher at Auburn than what they were there.
Oh, I think he'll dominate. I think he'll be – he could possibly be
– I know. You just said Akeem Olajuwon.
One of the best big men. Honestly, his game really is probably more like Shaq. Like, I know he's not going to be that good, but, like, he's going to be a traditional bang-around big guy. You know what I mean? Like, the old school – and those guys in college basketball can eat, man. They're going to spend a ton of time at the free throw line. They're going to get a lot of balls down in the paint, a lot of cleanup work.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's a great shot blocker too. So he can get up. It's not just, you know, a big man that can't move around. Seems like he can move around pretty good. So I don't know. Ever since the draft, like, I'm like, basketball season is going to be awesome. Like, we're going to be really, really good, because you get him here and then you couple it in with Mantis, which is another great eval that I got to give Auburn credit for, because his name was in the mix. Like, it felt like before the season was over, we were hearing about this guy. So we'll talk about Mantis here in just a second. All basketball show today. Basketball hype train starts now.
Love it.
At Afternoon Delight. We're going to talk about Mantis in a second, but before we do that, buyauburn.com. Ben, I just got off the phone with the guy, newest member. He has a cool golf product you need to check out. So,
well, what is it?
It's a, I don't want to go into all of it right now, but you can go on buyauburn.com and you can find out more information about it. It's just one of the many industries that we represent that we're trying to connect with Auburn business owners, with Auburn fans. So start your buying process at buyauburn.com. And then also, let's give a shout out to aushirts.com.
If you
love the funny quips and funny lines and takes and memes from the show, we got a lot of gear you can wear with that kind of stuff on it. We make new stuff up. I got a new cool design that I'm going to drop on a couple of things this week. So make sure you're on your toes, ready for that one. And it's just a place where you can support the barn and get some cool stuff as well. It's aushirts.com. Mantis Rubstavicius. His name has been in Auburn circles, going around in Auburn circles since, like, when, Ben? January? Like, seems like it was before the season was even over.
It was before the season was over, because they were already talking to him. And, I mean,
well, let's be careful there. Let's be careful there. We don't know that that's legal. So let's just say he was identified.
His representation was talking to Auburn.
He was identified. We're going to go with that. He was identified early as a player of interest.
Let's just leave it at that. Maybe it was the age thing people were scared at. Maybe it was the possibility of the new rules that they were scared of. I'm shocked other teams were not looking at him.
Well, they were. So Duke tested the waters there. I think even Kentucky tested waters there, because they missed on just about every single person they went after in the portal. But for whatever reason, it just seemed like it was always Auburn. Like, it just – that was their guy. And he loved the opportunity that presented itself. And it was almost like schools tried and knew pretty quickly that that wasn't going to happen. He was coming to Auburn. I've been doing a ton of digging on him and just, you know, kind of looking at everything I can to see how his game translates to college basketball. And I want to go back to 2024. I don't know how he got to the Golden State Summer League team. I don't know how that happened. I know he wasn't drafted. So I don't know if he just – it's like tryout stuff because I don't think he ever signed – he never signed any type of contract or anything like that. So it doesn't really matter. He played in three games in 2024 for the Warriors in their Summer League, which is – again, I mean, just imagine it's all of the best college that didn't get drafted, all trying out and playing and competing. And some of the, even the guys that are seasoned veterans will jump in for conditioning purposes and play in these games. And in those three games, he averaged 12 points, 1.3 rebounds, and one assist, shooting 50% overall from the field and 57% from three in those three games. So. That's against NBA competition. Feels like, I mean, I don't know what could happen between 2024 and now that would make a huge difference in his game negatively, unless he was injured or something, which I don't think is the case. But I think you're getting a guy who is, you know, length check, athleticism check, shooting check, and veteran check on top of that. So, the more that I look at this, the more excited I get about Mantas.
Yeah. Well, the thing Mantas. That, again, it goes back to, you. We discussed this with Narcisse Ngoy, the competition. Because, you know, they show the Mantas highlights. You know, I'm like, okay, so what's he play? Because he does fill it up. I mean, and he's off the dribble, he can shoot. He can spot up and shoot. I mean, the guy just fills it up from out there. And when you're 6'6", it's easy to elevate over 6'2" guards, 6'3" guards. It's almost unfair for him to be able to do that. And so, but I still like what I see. And I wonder, Kyle, and this is getting off on another little bit of a tangent, but I wonder if he picked Auburn and if he loved Auburn, because I wonder if Steven or one of Steven's assistants, it's kind of like what you and I discussed in football last week, where we talked about how Golish is making the pitch, and not just that, he's, when they come up with the weights, they've got the linebackers one weight, they got the safeties one weight.
Like a specific role and purpose for that position.
And it seems like with these big guards and these extra big, you know, big guys down low, these big fives, like it seems to me that Steven and staff are kind of pitching the same thing like Golish does. Like, hey, this is our plan. This is what we want out of you. This is the size we need. 6'6", 6'4", 6'5", out on the perimeter. At that three, they can also maybe do the four a little bit. And these are our expectations. And it's almost like somebody like Mantas goes, that's exactly what I want to do. So
that matches my skill set perfectly.
And it didn't match his skill set at Duke or at Kentucky, or maybe they said, hey, you got you at 6'6", but we're going to need you to be, you know, playing that four a lot. And he's probably like, nope, I'm a three. I want to be a three.
Yeah.
And I want to shoot. I want to be able to show what I can do on the outside. And
you know, I want to run. And I'm not just going to play half court. I don't want to just play half court basketball.
Right.
You know, I want to get out and fill it up. And I think you nailed it. It's a thing where a guy's making a conscious decision because he knows this may be my best chance to get to the NBA. I probably only got one shot at this, 1 year. Where can I go play really good competition, have a great chance to start in a system that's going to accentuate the things that I do well? And Auburn seems like the no-brainer here. And that's why it just feels like it's been him since his name popped up, you know, earlier in 2026. So those two guys, man, we haven't even talked about, you know, Tahad and Kevin Overton and then Buki Aboye. Like, we haven't even talked about them yet. Like, just those two guys in that lineup.
Aboye is a freak.
Freak. Well. Yeah.
I mean, that dude was a point guard.
Yeah.
So he can handle the ball. He's going to be somebody that grabs the ball as a four and heads down the court and going to completely shock
coast to coast
he runs by.
Go behind the back and, you know, lay it in type thing. Yeah, exactly.
And then you got, you know, the kid from Troy that every game I watched him play, he filled it up.
They like him. They like him specifically on defense. Like,
yes.
And, and that's cool too, because imagine, you know, Mantis coming off the court and Thomas Dowd coming, or is it Thomas Dowd? It's Dowd. I know it's his last name. Dowd.
Yeah.
Coming in. Like, imagine that replacement. Like, there's so many different fun aspects to this particular team. But these two guys being at the top of it, as far as new incomers.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm getting squirrely thinking about it. You know what I mean? Like, the basketball could be a lot of fun this year.
Are you calling an undefeated season already? Is that
we'll lose. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Won't lose a single game. 40-0. How many games can you play in college?
If you play
all of them and then
– the tournament? I don't know. What are you looking at? 40, 46, 48?
Yeah, is it 30 games? No, it's not 30. How many games? Is 18 game conference games?
Yeah.
There's 18 conference games. There's probably about, 18 regular season games? So that's 36. And then you play the tournament, which that's how many games? 6 games that you have to win, or is it 5?
Well, you got the SEC
opening round, 32, 16. Oh, gosh, you're right.
You got the 3 SEC tournament games. Because if we win all of them, we're going to get the double bye. So we don't have to play 3 games.
Okay, so 36 and 3 is 39, and then you got 64, 32, 16, 8, 4 championships, so 6 more.
Yeah.
So 45-0. 45-0. Book it. Whatever the over-under number is, smash the over on total wins.
Kyle is booging about basketball, and it is almost July.
June 29th, baby. A whole year until we play basketball.
Well, let me explain why I love the fact that you're thinking like this. Because a year ago, when it was announced that Steven was taking over the program, all you heard was negative. And now
we haven't heard much positive since that period.
No, not by some of the fans that don't follow basketball. If you follow basketball or know anything about basketball at all, and you're not excited about this upcoming
season, you're at least like,
yeah,
we might have something here. Might be something.
If you are not excited about the upcoming season, now you may get disappointed. I mean, they may.
Oh, there's no guarantee that's not going to happen.
But if you're not excited about the upcoming basketball season with everybody that's on that roster and the possibilities they have, and for the 2026-27 season, then you just don't follow basketball, or you just hate Stephen Pearl. Yeah. Like, that's the only – because when you look at this roster and you see what they've put together, and that is from Tahad and Overton coming back to, as we just talked about, all the guards around the perimeter, the big – you just got the MVP who got drafted by the Clippers, who's going to be your starting center, who – was the defensive player of the year as well over in Europe. Like, if you're not excited about that, then you hate Stephen Pearl, or you just don't know ball. That's the only two explanations I have for it, because I am, unlike Kyle, I don't think we got Akeem Olajuwon, but I'm cautiously optimistic about what product we're going to put on the floor when late fall rolls around and we see some of these exhibition games. Also, I don't think people realize, Kyle, how friggin' tall a 6'6 guard is.
Trust me.
And when they go out there and they play in some of these exhibition games against guys that don't have the athletes that Auburn has, that 6'6 guard is going to look about 6'8, 6'9.
Right.
He's going to be matched up against a 5'10 to 6-foot guard in an exhibition game. So – imagine, if you will, this was kind of the roadmap that Todd Golden won the national championship with, because he had a bunch of tall guys that he was able to put in play. But imagine having now experienced length on the outside with guys that are shooting 35% plus from beyond the arc, which his team did not do.
Bro, I'll tell you whose roster this is going to look a lot like. It's freaking Michigan's.
It is.
This past year. It is. If you really break it down, this is going to look a lot like that Michigan roster from your point guard being a smaller guy, and then you go to your shooting guard, and then you get inside and you got your tall bigs, and they got the beefy bigs too, you know, and Auburn does too. I think it's going to look a lot like Michigan's roster from last year.
Well, that's the roadmap. That's what I'm saying. 2 years ago, Florida. Last year, Michigan. This is the roadmap to success. What Stephen is building right now has been the roadmap to success the last 2 years. Now, I'm not saying – I'm not guaranteeing a national championship like you are at 45-0, but I'm guaranteeing that they're going to – you're going to see a lot of similarities to successful basketball programs over the last 2 years. And that goes for Kyle. It wasn't just Michigan. Arizona kind of had that mindset this past year, who was going to make a run. Florida year before, Michigan this year. Like, it is going to be something to clearly, you know, copycat league that they talk about, the NCAA. You've seen what's been successful the last 2 years. Yeah. Stephen and staff have put that together. And if they can put it together and now make it work, it's going to be fun to watch, dude.
I agree. Anything else you want to add about hoops?
No, I mean, you've already called national championship an undefeated season all the way through. So if I can't add any more, except for maybe we do like Michigan, would they get three drafted in the first round? So if we get three drafted, then I'll be on board with you.
Starting five, first round, 45-0, Auburn basketball, 2026-2027. No,
go to aushirts.com because Kyle's gonna have a 45-0 shirt up there ready. 45-0 question mark. That's what you need.
That's a good one. That's actually a really good idea. And then whenever you lose, you just update it to 44-1 or whatever. You know? Yeah. So, y'all take it easy. We'll be back again soon. We're out of here. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.